sometimes we need a little more sun, but we were thankful to actually have a few days of warmer weather. Anyway, it's great to be here this morning in the house of the Lord as the body of Christ, to be able to worship together. Those songs this morning, just a reflection of our hearts of worship to the Lord. It's just a great reminder of the Lord's faithfulness in our lives, that he's always working, that he's always good. We have been speaking last week. I started a series on humility. I don't know how long it's going to go for, but I think it's a fantastic topic for us to sit on for a little while. And it was, so humility positioned for greatness is what I called it. Because I truly believe that humility, when we walk in humility, it allows the Lord to truly work his way, his will in our lives, in and through us. The Lord promotes people by humility. He looks at the heart of things. So last week we also, one of the things I said, which I've said many times, is that humility is the root of the Spirit that produces the fruit of the Spirit. Do you remember me saying that? Humility is the root that produces the fruit. What is the fruit that grows from humility? Well, in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit are these. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are all amazing things. We all want more of that stuff, right? So if we want more of that stuff working in our lives, in our everyday lives, we need to look to the root system of what's growing. Because we know that healthy things grow. Amen? As we focus on the root, that it produces the fruit, that the Word of God works in us and through us to produce these things. Now today, I'd like to speak about one of the most important issues that I believe is about humility. So this is talking about a teachable spirit. A teachable spirit. A humble person, at the root of things, is a teachable person. And a prideful person is an unteachable person. Have you ever met someone that you feel is unteachable, just not open to anything? Any conversation? Michelle, I think of you being a teacher. Lisa, I'm sure that you guys have met students that just feel like are impossible to teach, right? And I'm reminded again, I've said this before, of a conversation I was once in with someone when I was in doing missions in India, and he basically said, I don't believe in anything that I don't see. And he said, I don't even believe there's a country called Canada. And I said, well, I'm from Canada. I've been born and raised there, lived there my whole life. You can believe that there's a place called Canada even though you haven't seen it or been there, because I'm a product of Canada. I've been there and I can tell you. And he's like, nope, I don't even believe that there's a country called Canada. And it was literally, it felt like the most impossible conversation. There was no talking. I just had to walk away. But we can all be unteachable sometimes in certain areas, right? Sometimes we think we know a lot of things, but we all have so much to learn. So this morning we're talking about an unteachable person. Before we go further, let's bow before the Lord in a word of prayer. Lord, we are so thankful that we can come to your word, that your word teaches us how to live. And on top of that, Lord, we welcome your Holy Spirit into our hearts, into our minds, our ears this morning to hear from you. Lord, I pray that as this message is spoken, that the words from my lips would just be all from you. And we accept it this morning. Lord, if there's change that needs to happen, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would do a work in us, that we would leave this place with a spirit of humility, humbled, knowing that you're working, Lord, we don't want less of us and more of you. We want none of us and all of you. We lay down ourselves. And we're saying, Lord, we want to see you. We want you to rule and reign in our lives. So we humble ourselves. We call on your name. And we welcome you in your presence here this morning. By the power of Jesus' name, amen. Well, this week I want to start out with the question of what does an unteachable person look like? And I do have a list, just kind of like I did last week, that I'm going to go through. You might be unteachable if we're going to just go through these. And again, this isn't to pour condemnation on anyone. This is for us to receive with a spirit of humility, because this includes all of us. Okay? You might be unteachable if you don't take notes, read books, or learn anything unless it's required or essential to get by. You might be unteachable if you don't ask questions or attempt anything that might reveal your ignorance or risk you looking silly, ridiculous, or
stupid.
You know what? I wasn't sure if I was going to even say that word, because that's kind of a bad word, you know. I think that's probably why I took it out. Anyway. Okay. You might be what does an unteachable person look like? You might be unteachable if you don't read the instructions for assembly required for products you purchased. I admit that's I'm that person, unfortunately. Now IKEA stuff, I don't even know. Well, anyway, you don't, the instructions you can't really read anyway, but all the time. But anyway, you might be moving on. You might be unteachable if you don't accept responsibility for your failures, but blame anyone and everyone else. You might be unteachable if you don't seek or accept one-to-one personal guidance or mentoring from parents, teachers, pastors, friends, or life coaches. You might be unteachable if you don't listen, but talk about yourself, especially when you're with someone you could learn a lot from. I have, just real quick on that one, I have a professor in Bible college that I remember him mentioning that how he spent an hour and a half, 90 minutes, with a new young pastor, went to lunch with him. And he said that the entire hour and a half, he spoke less than 10 minutes of the time out of the whole hour and a half, because this other person basically spent the whole time telling about everything that he had done. And I remember him just mentioning, saying how frustrated he was from that, because it just wasn't even a conversation. So, you don't listen, but talk about yourself, especially where there's someone you could learn a lot from. You might be unteachable if you don't take criticism or correction without resentment or retaliation. You might be unteachable if you don't read, listen, or learn anything that challenges existing beliefs, practices, or prejudices. Now, I want to just mention on this one as well that what I'm talking about is advice, okay? From mentors, from other people. I'm not talking about if you believe in creation, don't go every book on the shelf about evolution and say, I'm going to read them just so I can learn. Now, I've known people who go through school for apologetics, and they need to know how to have those conversations, and their faith is so deeply rooted in their faith that it strengthens them by having those conversations. But you need to be careful, because so many people end up leaving their faith or just going, I don't know what to believe. You know, don't run out and get a theology degree from a secular university, because a lot of times you might end up being left not knowing what to believe. And I've seen it happen many times within young people. Okay? But we need, again, to when we seek advice, we need to be open to other conversations. Now, to back this up with scripture too, in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, the NIV says this: the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Isn't that good? Wise man listens to advice. And in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 7, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, which is humility. In all your ways, what? Submit to him, also humility. And he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes, which is pride. Fear the Lord and shun evil. So when we rest, or if we lean on our own wisdom, we end up a lot of times setting ourselves up for failure. Now, humility is being teachable. And it's basically saying, I don't know everything. And that's a good position to have. So we're going to talk this morning about a teachable attitude. What does a teachable attitude look like? And I have five attributes that we're going to talk about when it comes to having a teachable attitude. And the first one is this: we listen to Scripture more than ourselves. Why do we do this? Because a lot of times we can lie to ourselves, we can deceive ourselves, con ourselves, condemn ourselves, or justify ourselves without including the Word of God. What am I talking about? I'm talking about not walking by our feelings or our emotions, because our emotions can lie to us. Many days, our emotions can tell us that we're not even saved. Anyone woken up in the morning? Spoken a word. Has anyone thought, I don't even know if I'm saved today? You're just in a bad mood, right? That's why we don't walk by our feelings, but instead what we know from the Word of God. This is what the Bible says about us. God is with us everywhere we go. We're saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. So instead, we listen to Scripture. And God will speak truthfully again through His Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That whole chapter, if you go back and read 2 Timothy chapter 3, the whole chapter is awesome. If you've been following along with the five-day Bible reading in a year thing that I gave at the beginning of the year, we read this chapter, I believe, last week. Such a fantastic chapter. So again, point one, we listen to Scripture more than ourselves. Now, if you feel that I've said this before, and that I'm saying this over and over and over and over again every single week, great. That means we're getting it. We're learning. Now, the number two, the second question is, what does a teachable attitude look like? We invite and encourage others to speak into our lives. Have you ever chosen to invite correction and counsel into your life? Do you have people in your life that you can go to and say, I'm blind to my own blindness, I'm foolish to my own folly, I need you to confront me about this, or I need you to rebuke me, I need you to speak truth into me. If I'm acting like a horrible person, I need you to give me counsel, because sometimes I don't know what to do. I need correction because sometimes I say or do the wrong thing. We all do this, right? We're blind to our blind spot. That's why it's good to have someone just from a different angle speak into our lives. Someone that we trust. Someone that we trust both biblically, with theology, with life, things that we agree on. But sometimes with a different enough view that they can truly speak into a life. Not just yes people. You guys know what I'm saying, right? And when we get that, then we can receive it. We don't fight it. We don't argue. We don't blame shift. We don't change the topic, but instead we receive it. You might have heard the saying, people don't plan to fail. Instead, they fail to plan. A lot of times you hear this with financial advisors. People don't plan to fail. They fail to plan. Well, Proverbs 15:22 says in the NIV, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. It's good to have many advisors in our lives. Proverbs 11:14 says, for lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. We must be willing to trust the voices of wisdom. And one of my greatest frustrations as a minister or as a pastor is when I see people that shun wisdom and counsel. They don't want to hear it. Or they're in a situation or they just don't want to be, they think they've got it all figured out, especially when I was a youth pastor and working with young people. We need to trust that, we need to know that trust is believing God, that God has this person in our life to help us see what we don't see and to lead us where we wouldn't go on our own. And I truly believe that this is a missing quality, if you will, in our culture today. Because one generation can always learn from another. We don't forget what other generations have gone through. But it's good to hear those stories and to learn from them so we can move forward in wisdom. We all have so much more to learn. I once heard a pastor say, the more I learn, the more I know, the more I realize I don't know. When someone says that, you know that they're on the path to learning a lot, right? And that seems can be so opposite. You think, oh, this person must know a lot about this stuff. But the more they learn, the more they realize they want to learn and need to learn. Teachable people surround themselves with people who know them well and who will lovingly yet honestly speak into their lives. And I want to say that that's key, lovingly and honestly. However, it can be a challenge for many reasons. First, you must be willing to develop a strong enough relationship with the person who is mentoring you. There needs to be communication and credibility to ask them to speak into your life. And then second, they must be courageous and honest enough to speak freely to us. Are we open to that in our lives? Imagine an employee going to their boss and asking them, telling them that. Saying, hey, is there anything I can improve on? If there's anything that you see, I'm open to being able to hear this today. I bet a boss would love that, right? And even more so, I've worked for I remember, I'll say this. I worked for Honda for a couple years, and they want to hear of anything that they can improve on amongst the people that work there. They've got processes in place that you can, if you see something that needs improvement, whether it's small or big, they want to know about it. Because if there's a way of improving even the smallest thing in their process, they want to know about it. And I just think that's the most incredible thing. That's awesome. So we need to be willing to accept their feedback and criticism without defending ourselves. Again, receiving it. Now you can say, well, I do this because. That's different. Having a conversation, having that in, as a part of the relationship to bring understanding. But then looking at it from their angle as well. And then you need to regularly ask them for help, instruction, guidance, and advice. And I want to say before an event, not after a disaster. It's important to go to them. So many people have come to me and said, hey, will you be a mentor for me? Or can you be a, hold me accountable to this? Can you help me with this? And of course, I'm just like, yeah, absolutely. I'm glad that you asked. But then they never come and talk to me again. Now, sometimes when we do that, I know there was a time where I thought, oh, that person should be, I've asked them to be my mentor. They should be calling me. They should be doing, you know. But no, we need to be pursuing them with questions. Say, hey, what about this? What about this? And that opens the relationship for them to do the same. This past week, I heard someone who was preaching, and their mentor, one of their mentors is James Robison. Do you know who James Robison, pastor from on TV? That's his one of his mentors. So after every time he preaches, James Robison and him have a conversation. And they actually just go through, and James will always start apparently with saying, look, these things were absolutely incredible. It'll be encouragement to him. But then he'll always say, you know what, here are some ways that you can improve. And I love how that process, I loved hearing that process is in place with that person. It actually makes me trust that people, that person's preaching all the more. You know what I'm saying? Now, one time I ran a worship conference in the Waterloo area. We had over 400 people that came. Afterwards, I had a guest speaker from the U.S., and I was driving them back to the airport. And this man said to me, JP, can I give you some advice? Now, to be honest, when he said that, I was like, oh, I should have asked him first. Is there anything we can improve on? What did you think of the conference? I wish I had jumped to that question before he said to it. But obviously, it was on his heart that he, and the relationship luckily was there for him to speak to me. And it was a fantastic conference. I believe that it reached every single person that was there. But you know what he did say? He said, can I give your church some advice? He said, before your church buys toilet paper, they need to spend money on a new sound system. He was trying to get a point across. And he did. And I was thankful for it. And he's a funny guy, so that's, if you knew him, that, you know. Anyway. Now, I want to say that I usually do not give advice unless it's asked for. I think it's good for us not to just be running out to give advice to people unless it's necessarily asked for. Why do I do this? Well, in Proverbs 23, verse 9, in the New Living Translation, it says this, don't waste your breath on fools, for they will despise the wisest advice. Right? You can't have a conversation with someone who... as a Canadian who says there's no such thing as Canada, right? It's important for us to pray, and if I may say, be led by the Lord when we try to give advice, when we want to give our opinion. And if the Lord leads us to say something, we do it in a spirit of humility that will be received. So let's be people who learn from everyone, including our enemies and our critics. Yes, we can even learn from our enemies and critics. We need to have, I want to encourage you to that we, all of us, I'm speaking to myself here. I'm qualified to speak on this because I've learned so much about it. Because, is that the right way of saying it? Because I haven't always been humble. And I've learned through things, especially in my younger years. But I am so thankful. I am so thankful that since a teenager, I have had multiple mentors throughout my life. They have literally changed the direction of my life. Yes, church leaders, pastors, businessmen, friends, people that I trust. I remember even as a teenager being invited over to an elder's house. They were my elders, overseeing elders at the church I was at when I was 16 years old, I think. And they were the most elderly couple in the church. And they invited me over to their house for tea. And it was one of the most memorable, wonderful experiences I ever had. I was so thankful for them because their heart came through. I walked away feeling like these people cared for me, wanted to know about me. They prayed for me. They invested in me. And in turn, it caused me to invest back into the church. And as the body of Christ, we all have the opportunity to do this. As representatives of the Lord in our community, we have opportunities to walk this way all the time. That's where we know the Holy Spirit leads us to say something, to do something, to help someone, to give something. And God will show up in those ways, in incredible ways. But even people that we feel are our enemies or our critics, we can learn from. If we're humble enough to overlook their pride, if you will. And point number three is we learn from our mistakes. John Maxwell, in his book, Failing Forward, says this: in life, the question is not if you will have problems, but how are you going to deal with your problems? Are you going to fail forward or backward? Isn't that good? Can we learn from situations, good and bad? Yes, we can. Success and failure. Negative experience and challenging people, if you will, can be a greater tool for depending on how we approach them. And I want to give you a picture of two different ways of handling things. Are we failing backwards or failing forward? Do we blame others or take responsibility? Do we repeat the same mistakes or learn from each mistake? Are we expecting never to fail again or knowing failure is part of the process? Are we expecting to continually fail or maintaining a positive attitude? Are we accepting tradition blindly or challenging outdated assumptions? Are we being limited by past mistakes or are we taking new risks? Are we thinking, I am a failure, or believing something didn't work? Let's be people who learn from our mistakes and fail forward. Amen? Number four, we acquire the art of listening. I've touched on this already, but I love to talk to people. And when I'm in a room of great leaders, I want to be the quietest guy in that room. so I can learn and hear from them, to listen to others carefully and patiently. Now, perhaps you've heard this before. God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason. Has anyone ever heard that before? It's a good saying. God gave us two ears. It's just like, yeah, that's so true. Proverbs 1:5 says, "Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance." So again, what if we were intent on hearing and knowing and the leading of the Holy Spirit, from the leading of the Holy Spirit? We can know this every day. When we spend time with God, the Holy Spirit will show up and teach us and show us things. Show us how to not just react to things, but walk through things with Him. That when we're in conversations, we can say, "Holy Spirit, you need to fill my mouth with your words to communicate to this person or in this conversation." Because every one of us are guilty of opening our mouths and then walking away going, why did I say that? Or I didn't communicate that clearly, or that was horrible, or I maybe tore that person down instead of building them up. I don't know how the world copes with humility, a topic like this, and wisdom and truth, when they don't have the Bible. Moving on, let's go to number 5. If we are teachable, we regularly look into the mirror. 2 Corinthians 13:5 in the NIV says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in faith. Test yourself. Test yourselves." What am I talking about? We need to judge ourselves. We need to look inside and go, how am I walking? I mentioned this before, but 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, it's read at every wedding. I don't know how many times I've opened that chapter, read it through, and go, I need to get better at this. Am I living my life like this? Because if we're not, we need to learn and grow from that. It will change our lives. It'll change our marriages and our families, our workspaces, our friends, our fellowship. We can evaluate ourselves on a regular basis. And anytime we face a challenge or a loss or a problem, one of the first things we need to ask, a humble person starts with, as opposed to just blaming others, but actually saying, am I the cause? If the answer is yes, we need to make changes and be ready to do that. Recognizing our own part in our failures, seeking solutions, no matter how painful they are, and working hard to put them in place leads us to the ability to change, to grow, and to move forward in our lives. So let's look in the mirror. Let's be honest with ourselves. Try to see yourself from someone else's viewpoint. What do you think they're seeing? How are you coming across to other people? We all need to have self-awareness. Again, these are hard things to listen to, but I believe good for all of us. They're challenging, aren't they? This week, I saw an article on a band called Mercy Me. Have you heard of the band Mercy Me? This is an amazing example of humility and a man who had an honest conversation with himself. And yes, even admitted his guilt. And the article was entitled this: "Man Confesses to Murder After Hearing a Song Called Redeemed by Big Daddy Weave. Sorry, it wasn't Mercy Me, it was Big Daddy Weave. Singer credits God. And it says this, lead singer of the contemporary Christian band, Big Daddy Weave, Mike Weaver, is giving all honor to God after a Tennessee man confessed to murder because of the lyrics to his song, Redeemed. We are continually amazed at how God has used this song. The moment we started singing Redeemed, stories began to pour in of God's grace. But as a band, we have nothing to do with the stories we hear about the song. It's only Jesus. Only he can use a song in this way. We are so thankful for all God continues to do, Weaver said in response to the confession of Danny Dashay Holmes. Holmes, according to the Daily News Journal, confessed to the murder of Cesar Lopez Flores nearly 3 years after the death of the father of three. The publication reported that just minutes after his trial began last week, this is, I believe, in 2019 that this happened, 2018, 2019, Holmes shocked the court when he confessed to fatally shooting Lopez Flores on December 16th, 2016, and kidnapping Brittany Johnson in Shelbyville. Holmes said about a year ago, God changed his life while he was incarcerated, and he felt like God was calling him to tell the truth about what he did. I knew the Lord was just on me, weighing on me over and over, Holmes said on August 23rd. I'm 30 years old and I have been fighting for nothing all my life. I've been fighting for gangs. I've never fought for anything that made sense, but I knew the Lord was telling me to fight for him this time. I just knew he was stirring in my spirit, he said. In the statement before the court that lasted about 20 minutes, Holmes said he brought a notebook with him to the trial with the lyrics from the song Redeemed. After reading the lyrics, then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight that's already been won. He said that he made up his mind. He was going to tell the truth. He was going to confess to a murder. His confession stunned those in the courtroom and brought his family to tears as he spoke about his conversion. Mom, you know that I love you, Holmes said to his mother. But Mom, I promise you, your baby boy, he is going to serve the Lord forever. Holmes said he deserved the life sentence he got for his crimes and said he plans to go to prison and tell young people he meets to find salvation through God. He also said he plans to pray for the Lopez Flores family because he now understands that he took him away from his family. Isn't that such an incredible example of the humility of Jesus, of salvation? Someone admitting to their wrong, their guilt. So in close this morning, I want to say this. It's important for each one of us to live our lives out loud. Why? I have three things. Everyone has something to teach me. Let's have an attitude that everyone has something to teach me. Number two, every day I have something to learn. And three, every time I learn something, I benefit. Proverbs 11:2 says this, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility, being teachable, comes wisdom. I want to end by asking this question. If everyone in the church gave like you, and what I mean about giving, I'm talking about your time, your talent, your resources, yes, financially, what would the spiritual state of the church be? If everyone in the church gave like you, what would be the spiritual state of the church? Are we truthfully willing to ask this question to ourselves? As we reflect on the truth of this, I want to read God's word, some scriptures to end this sermon today. as an encouragement to us. Luke 18:14 says this, "For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Philippians 2:1-9 says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in an appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name." And lastly, 2 Chronicles 7:14. That says this, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Let's pray. Lord, we again thank you for your words. Lord, thank you for these scriptures that say that as we humble ourselves, that we will be exalted. But Lord, we want you to be exalted in our lives. Lord, we make ourselves nothing, that you would be everything, that we might see you and know you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into our everyday situations. Lord, give us strength and courage to have conversations, real conversations with ourselves. Lord, so many times we're looking for you to change something in our lives, when you're asking us to change something. And Lord, I pray that we might be able to be honest with ourselves and know what we need to do, where we need to change, and walk the talk, walk in forgiveness and humility to the people around us. And Lord, knowing that as we do this, that we truly can stand for what your word says, in justice, in honor, knowing that you get all the praise and the glory through our lives, through our situations, that we might reflect you. Lord, we ask forgiveness for everywhere that we've missed it. Lord, forgive us for our sin, for our pride. We ask you to heal us now. And Lord, we also come before you for sins of our country, ways that we've missed it, ways that we haven't followed you. And we ask you to heal our land. We choose to put you first in everything, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to invite the worship team up at this point. And let's stand and sing this song together.